wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. I hope you guys are hungry today because Leanbox Great Lakes Managing Director Masa Matsumura is sitting with me in a whole bunch of food. Masa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, anyone who has food usually gets an invite repeatedly, so you guys are already in fast company. Before we kind of talk about you guys and sort of your food and everything else, like, give us a little rundown on what exactly Leanbox does and sort of how does it stack up and compare and differentiate itself from any of the other food companies in town?
Yeah, so Leanbox is a concept. The idea is to take an experience one would have at a food hall or a high-end cafe, and we wanted to condense that and go directly into offices and communities. And the way we do that, we actually have a high-end refrigerator, a smart refrigerator that goes directly in offices. And the reason we wanted to do that is in my past life, I was working with a lot of big companies that was doing food amenities and building out black iron cafes, and not every company can afford to do that or want to do that now. So it was a way for us to figure a way to close the loop on fresh food, clean
food. So from the fresh food standpoint, it's not like a vending machine like that you stack the smart, or is it? Like, how you said smart refrigerator, like, how does it?
Yeah, so it is a refrigerator with an iPad on it that allows for a locking, so you can do unattended retail.
Okay.
But our goal is to be able to fulfill that area that the current vending market maybe does not.
So the gist on this differentiation-wise, in an office, for example, is that I can pick out the different pieces of food and it keeps inventory to let you know new food is coming in, different kinds of food, things like that.
Absolutely. So, like, the data that we're actually collecting on the iPad or the tablet will allow us to see what the office is eating, learn the community that you're in, and no Leanbox will look the same in the office. And I think all the feedback we were getting from companies that were a little bit smaller or new companies, we live in a great tech city, right? Cool amenities for the people at the office, and this was a way for us to inject that directly into office.
What is the most common food, if you know, that goes on in the tech offices in Chicago?
So,
like, what does a good Leanbox look like? What are they eating at Ray's?
Yeah, so it's funny you bring that up. I think, you know, part of the reason I was so interested in this too is I've been in the tech space, and you know, I think everyone's used to in a fast-paced environment, your meals tend to end up being three bags of chips and a Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah.
So when it's an off hour, or when you don't have the time to kind of get up from your desk and get it, what can you deliver them? So a lot of tech spaces, you'll look at quick made meals that you can just eat at your desk. We have a lot of snack packs. And it's also important that we cover 5 day parts of the day. So it's not just a lunch, but we see a lot of people using Leanbox for really early or really late after the cafeteria closes and things of that nature.
Okay. One of the questions that kind of comes up for me in any business like this, it doesn't have to just be food, but one where you've got to get exposure quickly with a lot of companies who have enough employees that this makes sense. How did you guys... like, how long has Leanbox been up and running?
So Leanbox is a company that started in Boston, and the partnership was formed with a Food for Thought, which is a food service management company in Chicago, and we started a joint venture in Chicago, and that's how we started out. And Food for Thought in Chicago had a local presence in the high-end catering and food service management space, so we had a lot of this feedback already going into it, saying, hey, we need a way to swim downstream and still be able to provide amenities for the people that work for us. And a lot office managers coming to us and saying, hey, it's not just drop-off catering, it's not just the events, how do we take care of people every single day with, you know, clean food, fresh food, the food that you're not seeing currently.
So in this case, it's strategic partnerships is how you were able to kind of leverage your way into all these buildings and stuff, because they already were ordering from the partner.
Yep, that was definitely our strategy to add this to the portfolio that we already had to penetrate the market. And then now it's been, you know, talking to a lot of startups and companies that are at the HR events and looking for solutions like this.
We get lots of phone calls from entrepreneurs from every scale, literally, billion-dollar company on down, who try to figure out, like, how do we get into offices? It's so weird because it seems like it would be the same as, like, selling a SaaS platform, but it's not, because you're selling a platform to, like, help operations. It's easier for me to give you a KPI and be like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. For something like this, you've got to get in, get buy-in, get people like, yeah, we would love this. It would make people happier, whatever the case. How do you meet new customers and clients? You talked about going to HR networking events and things like that. How do you get in with an office?
there's so much, I think there's so much more benefit networking, right? So you almost have to put yourself in the shoes of the people that's curating these programs for the companies that they work for.
Yep.
So things like Sherm and being there and talking to them and seeing what their problems are. And food is one of those things, to your point. You can't just cold call and say, hey, you know, we have food that might fit for your office. You have to understand how companies are growing. So the best scenario for us is finding companies that just moved to the city. They're moving offices and things. We have a lot of real estate partners that help us identify new offices that are coming up, and the timing is right to consider something like this. That's probably been our biggest success in terms of a quick relationship to get to this point.
Now, I'm always fascinated with founders and also executives across the board that were not in the space that they're currently in, and they're doing a great job, and they were in a completely different space. You mentioned that you've been in tech for a long time. How long is this your first run in the food tech space or food space?
No, so I came back to food. Before.
Everybody comes back to the table.
I've always been in the restaurant industry. I love everything that comes with the restaurant industry. And I actually, the reason I went to Groupon was I led the partnership for one of my restaurants at Groupon.
Oh, nice.
And I went over there, was in the tech, and then I got the itch to kind of get back. And when you're selling things into a restaurant, I just remembered how much I like being on that side, and this is kind of the combination of both. So
what, like, walk us through a little bit, like, what your job looks like for something like this, because I feel like it's we always brush over mm-hmm. the roles that the people play inside the company. They spend all day talking about their company, but like internally, what does it look like running a company like this? Like, how do you I'll give you an example. I had lunch with a restaurateur the other day, and I asked him, I was like, you know, this has got to be the craziest thing when you go into restaurants. It's got to be like you're at work, right? You're sitting there looking and judging all the, like, what looks like a good restaurant.
Right.
And I'm thinking he's looking at, like, overdone meat, like too slow a service, sloppy kitchen, whatever. And he was like, I don't, like, all those things are fixable.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually looking for, you know, how the busboy and person comes back and forth in a certain amount of time. I'm looking at, you know, are people standing around? I'm looking at, like, the mix and types of people who work there. Do they promote from within? Like, it was all this stuff. I never would have guessed in my life that's what he was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get a chance to sit down with someone who has kind of a unique niche business, it's like, what do you look for? How do you run your business?
I think the food industry, especially, there's so much innovation in it that we're always going to have competition, and we call it, you know, that share the stomach, right?
So
there's going to be a lot of people that's going for the same stomach, and how you really have to stand out in it, as cliche as it is in the food and
what part of the stomach did White Castle take?
That's probably my stomach, to be
honest. Me too. I have frozen, bought from 7-Eleven White Castles in our office refrigerator right now.
And this is a little bit of an aside, but your audience can't honestly see me, but I'm not a health and wellness freak by any means, right? But I think it's important to put better options and access directly in the path of people. So,
oh, for sure. I think one of the biggest, we had a company from Republic that is equity crowdfunding. They called into our Saturday show, the Startup Showcase, and they pitched their business, and it's called Every Table,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically, like, in his mind, McDonald's for healthy food, and the premise being literally like, people, and this is kind of an unproven premise, but people would choose healthier food if it was as available and as cost effective.
Yep.
The big thing that's catching people is they can't afford to pay for it, or if I wanted to go get fresh produce, I have to go somewhere that's not McDonald's, which happens to strategically be on every corner.
Yeah, and I think the two things that's real, an elevator in the city is a real barrier to sometimes making
choices,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm someone that probably spends more time deciding what I want to eat than actually eating the food, so it's helpful to have, like, a platform that can tell me, hey, this is what's new or this is what's cool. And that's part of Leanbox as well. We want to try to curate and source, and our culinary and sourcing and product team really work hard to make sure what's in your Leanbox is relevant to what's happening outside.
What are some of the menus for Leanbox? Like, what does it look like?
So we got everything from a pork kimchi udon dish, right?
Nice.
That's more in the Asian trend, international flavors. And then we have something as simple as, we'll take classic things like turkey sandwiches or Caesar salads and put our twist to it. And then we also curate products that's also packaged goods as well, but we want to try to use local. We want to try to find the next brand that's coming out that you might not find at your grocery just quite yet.
What do you think is the biggest barrier for a company to want to use, whether it's Leanbox or anything else? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the toughest part of the sales pitch to get people to want to feed their people healthy? Because you know that, obviously, money aside, money is a barrier, but at the end of the day, I feel like sometimes people just want to eat shitty food. Like, it's just like, what is that barrier that you guys can, that you see, that you guys try to battle with?
I've been in food service management in the past for a long time, and you hear all the voices of, yeah, we want to go gluten-free, or we want to eat healthier, we want more vegetarian options. And if you look at SKUs, it's always chicken fingers and fries that's always going to win, right? So I think that's a real challenge. There's an education portion of it that's really important. I think if we can get into an office and really get the population to start asking for a solution like this, and the important thing is that it's not a replacement for the more unhealthy options that might be there. We work best side for side, and like I said, it should be an access point. It should be an additional option that's directly in your path that hopefully makes maybe it's two times a week, right? And I think that's a huge win for companies and
for so
companies
too.
To understand,
and for the people.
That correlates with people working harder or people working healthier. I mean, those are real benefits.
From my own personal experience, like, I absolutely get more out of my day when I start healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't eat a whole bunch during the day and I eat some crappy food at the end of the day, like, I feel like crap when I wake up the next day.
Yeah.
But like, I'm unaffected. If I hold off all day and I cheat at the end,
right,
it's not that big a deal. It kind of does catch up to you by the end of your week, and you just get fat, and that's no good.
Yeah, I don't want to bash on White Castle, but there's a difference.
Yeah, I like it.
9 p.m. White Castle and a noon White Castle.
Yeah, like, you, and I think one of the things that I it's not like this is unknown. I mean, I think people know this, but it's a reminder to all of those people who run companies, particularly the community manager within a company,
mm-hmm.
that people work better, healthier, are happier, fight less. All kinds of, like, basically, if the fridge had anything, the only thing I don't like is giving me apple slices. That's a waste of my time. Do not give me apple slices. But everything else, like, it would be better. I feel like people would just be happier if, like, right in the morning, there was the ability to grab, like, oatmeal and some sort of cheese and fruit dish.
Yeah.
And, like, I challenge any person who's running their office, if they could feed their people that instead of quick microwave cooks and just random stuff, that they would have a better, healthier, happier workforce.
Yeah, and what I learned as I got into this more and more is how much pressure is on the office managers, whoever running that program, curating that program. If we can take a little bit off their plate too, that's been a big win for us as well.
I would think that, I mean, those people, if it's running like any, and again, we're talking probably bigger companies at this stage, mm-hmm. but like, I have learned this with our own partners, that if they have a purse string, they have a budget that they can use, and it's, you know, not 100% up to them, but it kind of is when it comes to, like, what's going to make you happy.
Right.
And if you can call it, you know, let's say it's in their budget, they had 10 grand a month or whatever the number was.
Mm-hmm.
If that 10 grand a month will make it to where everyone says hi to them and waves in the morning, as opposed to giving them a crappy look or some sort of, like, complaint,
right,
that is worth it to them all day long.
That's
so I can totally see you selling that to them and it being a huge success.
Yeah. Or even in, you know, smaller companies where you're the CFO, office manager, the everything,
right?
Your titles literally have to be everything that you do in a company. One less thing you should worry about is where your billing is for all your food, and make sure it's on time. That's
and I, the last thing I'd add that I saw on your stuff that I also really liked is we now live in a world, and I found this firsthand at home, being engaged to a person with a peanut, well, she would yell at me already, tree nut, any nut allergy, I don't see the difference. Apparently, it will kill you.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal now. And, and every office, when they used to do potluck, and it was a, you know, everyone orders pizza. So basically, it's like fast food, which has nothing it's all man-made. So you don't have to worry about getting sick from that. But all of the food delivery services, it's a huge nightmare to know what it contains.
Yep.
And knowing that you guys are stocking the shelves and knowing exactly what's in it, there's peanuts, but they're compartmentalized in this box.
Absolutely.
And they're separated. It enables an office to have everyone be able to eat what they can and mm-hmm. want and know where it came from, which at the end of the day really is a, going forward, that's going to be a huge focus.
Yep,
I think
we
that's
want people
major
to
focus.
Touch and feel our food, look at the labels and know what goes into it.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's a liability factor for these companies. I mean, there have been numerous that I've seen in the news. They don't usually make the news of, like, companies in trouble, but you hear stories of, like, somebody having, you know, an allergic reaction in the office, and it's like, that was the end of us having potluck. Like, that's over. You know, so I see a bright future for this. The last question I'd have for you on the way out of this is sort of, you know, obviously you guys are doing well with this. What do you see as the growth potential, the next steps, the next additions to Leanbox, and how the whole thing could work? Where do you see this being? You know, obviously you're scaling now, but is there more you guys could be doing, or is it just continuing to sign up buildings?
I think, and this is something we talk about internally as well, and there's a lot of directions we can go into, but I think the ultimate goal is to really take over a break room for an office and work as a partner that's really first connecting the break room. I think the Internet of Things and just being able to app connect things in the break room is really cool, and to offer products and be one point of contact for a solution and manage a good curated food service program for offices of all sizes, I think.
So in short, I mean, you guys view yourself really as a tech company that happens to circulate food. I mean, the food piece is a big part of it.
Yeah, it depends who you talk to. If you talk to our chef, he'll say, you know,
well, of course. Like, well, no, right? I mean, like, the food has to be good, and all that is important. I'm not.
But yes, absolutely.
The truth is, like anything else, like the better the tech, the more. So imagine that you're able to have beverages and coffees and different other things that you add, desserts, whatever. The smarter the tech that you have, the more IoT that is integrated into these break rooms.
Yep.
The easier it is for you to grow and scale versus, yes, it is important that the food is delicious and all that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
But that you're not going to scale delicious food. You're going to scale the ability for people to eat delicious food faster, quicker, more predictably.
And talk to us through the food, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the barrier we're trying to break as well. So not just Sarah and John telling us, hey, we like that. Actually, go to the app. Let us know.
To me, that's the big takeaway for this. Yeah. I think the coolest part about what you guys are doing is that the food is now a data source. And then rather than the... You know, and this is something that's crushed Chipotle. I mean, other than the fact that their food had poison in it, it crushed Chipotle was that that they did a lot of surveys and asked people like what you wanted, and they started adding all kinds of different products that they try to sell around the build your own burrito bar.
Yeah.
And that was a ton of money spent. And it turns out that people have a bigger appetite when they write food in order than they do when they eat.
Yeah.
And so they ended up, it was all waste. They just lost it. I mean, it was millions, $20 million something dollars that was lost on an experiment because the food didn't tell them the answer or they didn't listen, whatever it was.
Yeah. You can't always listen, I think, to the loudest voice, right? It's got to be
the stomach.
Accumulated data, yeah.
Absolutely. Very cool.
Awesome.
Masa, this has been great. Thank you very much for coming
in. Thank you very much.
Where do people go to learn more about Leanbox?
Leanbox.com and then 844-LEANBOX is our number.
Very cool.
I'll pick up the phone.
Will you actually? I hope that would be hilarious. Masa, we've got a call in line too. Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you very much.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. And you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.